everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Vegan Proteins Muscles by Brussels Radio. My name's Giacomo.
And I'm Danny.
And this is our 74th episode. Got hit with a nor'easter storm over here, and there is a ton of snow outside. I mean, I feel like we got at least a foot worth of snow.
A foot, says the guy who clearly didn't have to shovel. It's like 2.5 feet. It's well above my knees. I know because I shoveled it.
At Mama Koala's house, which is what I call my mother-in-law. At our house over here, the snowblower broke down, so I didn't have time to shovel the second half of the driveway, but I snowblowed the first half of the driveway.
Oh, that must have been hard for you.
It was really hard.
My mom actually, she has a plow guy who comes and plows the driveway. So I didn't have to do the driveway, but I had to do all the stairs and all the walkways and shovel all the way back through the pool yard to the tenant's house. And then the hardest part was shoveling my car out. It was completely covered. And today, my back is I feel like I got kicked in the kidneys.
It's weird. And like, I actually got a chance to go snowboarding this past weekend, which I felt like was a relatively safe thing to do outside, and everybody's pretty much being masked up, you would think, because it's cold. And for some reason, moving my body in a way that I hadn't moved it in a while actually made me feel better, not worse. I mean, I was sore, but that back pain from sitting down in a chair many hours, it seemed to not bother me after snowboarding. Go figure.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt like in a I hurt myself way. It just hurts like, man, I am sore. Right now, I can actually see kids sledding outside our window. It's pretty cute. But otherwise, things have been pretty much the same over here. I'm still obviously staying at my mom's house. I just came home to record this. And yeah, things are still moving right along on that front. But the Vegan Proteins Muscles by Brussels community has just been on fire. On fire. I've been so happy about it. So a lot of people just wrapped up their 28-day overhaul, and some of the success stories just make me really, really happy, including Robert Cheek. So Robert did the overhaul, actually, which I didn't even know until we were like 2 weeks into it, that he decided to do it, and he hadn't touched free weights in a long time because of a back injury, and he decided to use this as a way to get back into it, and he had some pretty awesome results too. So that was really neat, because I made it for people who had like fallen off track, but I've found it to be successful for, you know, people either just getting into it or getting back at it, or even some people who have, like Robert has like 25 years of training under his belt. So.
Well, yeah. And Robert and Karen, they did it together actually, and which is really neat.
Yeah. Karen's Robert's wife.
Right. And I was also pretty, I don't want to say surprised, but I was definitely excited and happy to see so many people in the Muscles by Brussels Facebook group posting about their results. And
their food. Mm-hmm. I'm just so happy to see people talking. Like, it's just really neat to watch your group and your community grow. So if you guys are in that group, we appreciate you. We notice you. And if you're not in it and you want to join it, Facebook, Muscles by Brussels Radio Group. Very easy to find. What are we talking about today, Giacomo?
Well, I think this is a pretty relevant topic after so many people have completed the overhaul, because now it's a matter of how do you maintain your results? And that's what today's discussion is going to be about. What happens once you've gotten a certain amount of progress under your belt and you want to keep said progress?
Yeah, this is a really interesting topic, because I feel like there could, like if you get really nitty gritty about it, there's different answers depending on what the goal is, right? How do I keep my muscle building results? How do I keep my fat loss results? But the very, very, very short answer is one nobody likes to hear, but it's true. You have to basically keep doing what you're doing. What you're doing needs to become a lifestyle of sorts in order to maintain those results. So I remember way back when I was 18 or 19 years old and I had just gotten into lifting, and I don't know, I was like 8 months in or 9 months in. I was pretty happy with where I was, but I had worked really, really hard to get these results. And I remember sitting there thinking like, okay, but what now? Like, I'm where I want to be. What do I do now? And it was the first time it had even crossed my mind. Like, what do you do when you get there? Because I think my little tiny child brain thought like I would get where I was going and then I could just like go back to my regular life and keep what I had. I think a lot of people kind of have that misconception, especially if they're first getting into fitness. Like having lost 90 pounds, it was the first time I was like, okay, the goal is no longer weight loss. What now? That is such a scary feeling. And I mean, a 28-day program does not even compare to, like, you know, a couple of years of pushing for weight loss and suddenly being like, what do I do without this goal? But how do I keep this? Ah, what do I do?
But the point is that at some stage when it comes to your bulk or your cut or whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is that you're going after, you're going to have to get back to a state of balance. And whether it's a really big change or whether it's something that's temporary and you can hit pause and then do some more work in the future, it can still be, like Danny said, somewhat scary to know where to go next, to be able to continue to do what you're doing, but also kind of scale back on the intensity.
I remember the moment where it dawned on me, like it clicked in my brain, like, oh my God, if I want to maintain these results, I have to do this forever. And it was like a really scary thought at that moment because I didn't consider this to be a lifestyle change while I was doing it. While I was chasing that goal, I was like, I am doing a program. I am following this thing. I will reach this goal and then I will be at the goal. The end. I was never like, okay, Danny, you need to like reexamine your life, reevaluate what you're doing. Do you want to live this way forever or do you want to make a change? So it was like I was already well on the way of, you know, technically having made these lifestyle changes but never considering them lifestyle changes. Like to me, it was just a diet and a workout program and realizing like, oh, I need to do this till I die if I want to keep these results. How can you make that thought less terrifying?
Right. I'm not entirely sure when that is the fear that you start off with, but I do feel like you can adopt that kind of mindset where this is where the hard part comes in, right? Getting there is ironically the easy part because for some it's not. But once you've already gotten there, and that's who we're talking to, the hard part is learning what you're going to be able to do so that it's a lifestyle and not a chore to go to the gym. It's part of your lifestyle to eat well and not a chore to prep meals and shop for healthy groceries, right? It's that lifestyle change doesn't happen in the blink of an eye. And that is kind of what makes it so that you're going to have results long term. Like to keep them.
Well, I don't think we're just talking to people who have already achieved their results. See, this is kind of what I'm saying is I wish somebody had explained this to me before I got there because it was not a good place to be there and then realize, oh shit, I need to do this forever. If somebody had said, hey, you want this, you're going to have to keep doing this. If you want to stay that way, you have to keep doing this. So I am saying to people, if you're going for a goal and you want to keep that physique, that level of fitness, that amount of muscle, that leanness, whatever your goal is, you are largely gonna have to keep doing what you're doing. And this is why, side note, maintaining a competition-ready physique, not sustainable. And once you've actually gotten like competition lean, you realize that. Because if you know that in order to maintain any physique, you have to keep doing what you're doing, you only need to get in competition shape one time to realize, oh, hell no, I'm not doing this forever. Hell no. This would be my life. This would be it. In order for me to stay in this shape, that's all I would ever do is count all my food and work out and do cardio and eventually have hormone problems. Separate note. Sorry, little side tangent there.
No, I'm thinking a little more on that. I have all kinds of thoughts in my head about that. And I think the main thing that I want to bring to the table is the fact that until someone actually goes through it, they tend to not believe that. I mean, you tell your competition prep clients, look, you can't keep doing this. You can't keep doing this. Like, yes, I can. Yes, I can. And I think it's because the carrot is dangled and because they're going after the thing, kind of like what you were saying earlier in the conversation. But once they've done it and they realize afterwards, oh, my body's falling apart and I can't maintain this. I'm like, yep, that's kind of just happens.
I look really good, but I feel like an absolute pile of heart garbage all of the time. What to do? What to do? Eventually, those abs become a little bit less important when you realize that. That's not to say you can't get in really, really, really good shape and maintain it if you are willing to make the things you're doing an actual lifestyle change. How do you go about creating these lifestyle changes that allow you to maintain your results?
Well, I think it's a matter of distancing yourself from whatever goal you've accomplished and reminding yourself of the things that you've been doing throughout the process to get your said result. In other words, you were getting in a certain amount of protein, you were tracking your food, you were staying hydrated, you were taking care of your sleep hygiene. There were things that you needed to do to get to the goal that you accomplished. And if you focus on those things as opposed to the next goal, you're more likely than not going to be able to maintain your results and create a space where you can get to another goal that you can make in the future.
So if I were to paraphrase everything you just said, focus on the process. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
That's my specialty, is taking all of Giacomo's words and condensing them into a sentence. But it's true. You do need to focus on the process. And above that, you need to enjoy the process. You know, there are some things that you don't always love. For example, I'll use myself as an example. I don't like to run. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I've gone through periods where I have tried to like it and tried to make it fun. I even used that like Run Zombies app because I was like, oh, a podcast you listen to while you run about a zombie story and then they chase you? Cool. Nope. If that wasn't enough, running's never going to be my thing. Running is never something that I'm going to incorporate into my lifestyle change. So whatever the goal it is you're trying to achieve, whether it's muscle building or fat loss, yes, obviously you need specific things for that. Like if you want to go on a muscle building goal, if you want to pursue that, you don't start swimming because those don't make a lot of sense together. You would start some kind of strength training program to build muscle. Whereas if you had a goal of just wanting to be fitter or lose weight and you like swimming, then swimming makes sense there because it's you know, cardio with some strength. I'm not saying there's no strength training in swimming, but pick something that gets you to the goal you want to reach, but also is something that you enjoy doing because you're going to be doing it for a long time. So make sure you like it.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that you can sort of deviate from the formula that got you there, like find other activities that you enjoy because you're going to be doing it for long term, but still make sure they're conducive towards the goal. Is that what you're saying?
Nope.
Okay.
What I'm saying is just pick a form of exercise that you like. That's the very short version of what I'm saying that also is in line with your goal. To your point, yeah, you can change it up over time for sure. Like if your goal was muscle building and you've only ever done body pump classes, yes, that would be in line with muscle building. To a point, maybe one day you want to try lifting the free weights in the gym, or you want to try CrossFit, or you want to try doing a powerlifting meet. All of those would fit into the I want to build muscle and be strong box. Whereas if you wanted cardiovascular endurance, if that was your goal, or just losing weight was your goal, something that burns calories and makes your heart rate increase, those would be the things that you would want to look for, but it's got to be something you like. If you hate running like me, maybe you like dancing. Maybe you like swimming. Maybe you like tennis. Like all of those things would kind of fit into that bucket.
I follow.
So you just have to find a modality of training that you're excited to do. Because if you don't like it, the day that you hit your goal, you're going to be like, and I'm out. And you're just going to stop doing it and you're going to lose all your results and you're going to be real bummed out.
I mean, I guess the way that I see it is like, you don't have to do the same kind of training for the rest of your life, but it makes sense that your training is going to be conducive towards your goals. So whatever modalities you have, it's not like it's like a death sentence. Like you need to just bro out essentially in the gym and just do nothing but lift dumbbells,
right,
and barbells.
You could do rock climbing. Like rock climbing builds strength. I mean, there's just so many different things. Don't be afraid to branch out from the normal, we lift the weights and we do the cardio. You can get creative with it. I hula hooped for years and that was great exercise. And you need to, again, in part of making this all a lifestyle change, you need to do it regularly. It needs to work into your life. It can't be a thing that you just do when you have time or you just do when you remember it. It needs to be just something you do, like you make your bed or brush your teeth. That's really, really important in order for you to maintain the results that you get. It needs to become such a part of your life that it would actually be weird if you didn't do it.
I think it's also important to mention that the intensity, like I was talking about earlier, you don't have to go at 99%. I mean, quite frankly, that's not sustainable 100% of the time year round. Like you were mentioning earlier, right? With competitive bodybuilding, that's a prime example, but it doesn't have to be just competitive bodybuilding. It's more of like an example of how, say, you're training 5 days a week.
So like progressive overload. Once you've reached a point where you're happy with your results, you don't always have to be pushing harder anymore. You know, we often say to people, when you go into the gym, make sure you're lifting, you know, you get an extra rep or you get an extra pound, or you just try to push a little bit harder than you did last time. That is progressive overload. That is how you make progress. But if you're already at your own personal finish line, you still have to do it. You still have to show up and exercise, but you don't have to constantly try to be outdoing yourself in order to just keep the results that you have.
And I think whatever is going on as far as your scale of priorities, that's life. It ebbs and flows. Sometimes other buckets, other areas of your life will need to take precedence and will need to be prioritized more so than, say, your training or even eating a certain way. And I think that's what keeps you in the game long term, instead of this all or none type of way of framing it, where it's like, well, I keep training 4 days a week, now I have to train 5 or 6 to make progress.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to food yet. But before we jump into that, just a couple more like lifestyle things to keep your progress along the lines of lifestyle change. Just move your body more. Just move your body more, especially if the goal that you were reaching was a weight loss goal or a fat loss goal. Move your body more and you will have such an easier time keeping that. I'm not even talking about exercise. I'm talking about get up and walk around your house more frequently throughout the day. Go for walks. Literally, just move more. You'll keep your results so much better. When I had my last off season, which was 2017, oh my God, because I competed all 2018, I want to say I probably averaged 5,000 or 6,000 steps a day at the end of that off season. And my, you know, I was doing very well with my muscle building goals and really moving along that way. But I was maintaining a much higher body weight than I am now, almost 10 pounds more than I am now. I'm not eating very differently now than I was then, but I average 10,000 steps a day now. And that little difference of 4,000 to 5,000 extra steps a day, I 100% attribute that 10-pound difference to that alone. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Well, it's more than just maintaining a certain body composition. It's making sure that your body wants to continue to move and move well. Sitting down all day long, whether you're active outside of walking or not, is just not good for your body in general.
Mm-hmm.
We're meant to move.
Yeah, you feel better when you're moving, but that's a separate story. And I would also say, make sure that you keep sleeping well. That's also, don't let your sleep go to the wayside. Make sleep a part of your lifestyle habits as well. We won't dive too much into that. Food. Food is a huge, huge component. Probably, I would say, even harder than keeping up with the exercise component for a lot of people. When they reach a goal, what the heck do you do with your diet? I think this is a lot harder to deal with.
I think when it comes to nutrition, the hardest part is making sure that the food is there and that we continue to make good choices. I think that is more important than actually thinking about how much you're going to eat and what your portions need to look like to keep your plate balanced. I think it's the habit of eating healthy that's hard for most people. And it's like, well, I had to be kind of meticulous to change my body and get to a certain way. Now what do I do? And do I really want to be like that all the time?
Yeah, it's really hard if you were coming from a diet, especially if you were in a caloric deficit at the end. You know, I said you got to keep doing what you were doing. But if your goal is no longer to lose weight, you don't need to stay in a caloric deficit. But you do have to find your new maintenance if you just lost quite a bit of weight. Likewise, if you're trying to build muscle, but you're happy with where you're at, you don't need to stay in a surplus, but you do need to find your new caloric maintenance, and it will be different than what it was before you started trying to reach this goal. I would say, you know, I recommend that most people track their food when they're trying to reach a specific goal. So if that's something you were doing, then you want to continue to track your food until you can find your new maintenance. And then I would say, kind of like we talked about in the last episode about when to track and when to intuitively eat, only once you're back at your maintenance and you've been there for a while do I think you should start to see if you can start to intuitively eat a little bit more at that point. The habits, like you mentioned, of healthy eating, those need to be kept at the forefront of your mind regardless of whether you are tracking your food or not. So making sure that you continue to prioritize produce and protein. So fruits and vegetables and your protein, and then making sure that you're eating what would be the correct amount of other foods, carbohydrates and fats, for you. And that doesn't mean that if you want to stay lean, you can't have a burger or anything like that. This is when, veggie burger, obviously. This is when like tracking your food comes in really handy to see, you know, if you haven't eaten a veggie burger for 6-7 months while you reached this goal, you might want to plug that sucker in when you eat it to get an idea of how much you're actually eating. Because I think a lot of people go from eating like, you know, super clean whole foods on a meal plan to just like, okay, I reached my goal, I'm done. They just go back to eating way more processed junky snacks without realizing how much more calorically dense those things are, because nobody likes to plug in a burger and fries. That's not fun to see those numbers show up. No one likes to plug in an ice cream sundae. That is discouraging when you see it, but it's an important learning tool to find, okay, how can I incorporate these occasional treats into my life while still maintaining this physique I worked really hard for? And if you find that you can't, work occasional fun stuff into your life while maintaining that physique, whole separate conversation, ask yourself if this is a physique that you can maintain, if you're willing to maintain. Are you willing to make the sacrifices that are required to maintain that physique? As you start to decrease the intensity of your diet, you're gonna figure out if this is something that is realistic for you or not.
When you say you're gonna figure out though, there needs to be a grace period of at least say a month or 2 months. Cause I feel like after you've been in a caloric deficit, if we're talking about that side of the spectrum, as opposed to bulking and maintaining a bulk, after a caloric deficit, your hunger signals are gonna be a little rough to continue to adjust to when you're getting back to maintenance. Eventually they calm down a little bit. And the other irony about eating up, which we've mentioned before in the past, but it bears mentioning again, is that your metabolism kicks up a notch because more food's coming in. And it's just, oh gosh, I hate it. Because here you are eating more, and ironically, you're more hungry for a period of time until your body catches up to being able to enjoy more food and work a little faster. After about 2 months, that's when it becomes more reasonable to start to think about what kind of foods you can work in and whether or not you can maintain the lifestyle as well as the results.
So that's just a question that you're going to have to ask yourself. Is this something worth maintaining? And some people are willing to just kind of be a little bit hungrier or a little bit more food focused in order to maintain a certain type of physique. And some people are not. That's not worth it to them. They will happily put on a little bit of weight, settle at something that's slightly higher than what they initially thought, which to be honest is what most people are going to have to do. Most people are going to have to realize, okay, this thing I had in my head, not actually totally maintainable. I have to readjust my expectations. In the opposite direction, if someone has gone down a muscle building path, they are, in order to maintain that, they're going to have to probably err on the side of eating a little bit more than they're going to have to err on the side of being a little full a little bit more often than they'd like, as opposed to a little bit hungrier than they'd like. Overall, I still think even for muscle building, the priority of produce and protein is really, really important. It's just obviously someone who's trying to maintain the muscle that they've put on, they're going to have more carbohydrates and fats. And it's the exact same thing where it's like, yes, you should still track until you are comfortable enough that you feel like, okay, I get this. I know how much I should be eating. Then you can start to back off of the tracking. They just have more wiggle room if they're able to eat more than, say, somebody who just spent a long time trying to lean out.
I think another challenge with maintaining more mass on your frame is that sometimes it's uncomfortable to keep eating a little more than you'd like to if you're not fully adapted to it. And I think in that kind of situation, it makes sense to think about the foods that you're eating and find foods that are a little easier to digest. Or, I mean, sometimes it's more about the volume of food that you're eating when you're maintaining more mass being a challenge and less about the fact that you're eating more. You can find calorically dense foods that are still nutritionally dense as well.
Yeah, you can. And, you know, some might say, Danny, why would you prioritize produce if you're focusing on maintaining muscle? Because we're talking about like maintaining your results long term. You still need to eat vegetables, even if that's your goal. It's important. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, for one, it's going to help with your digestion and it's good for your health. And all of that nutrition is going to just make you feel better and perform better and recover better after workout. So it's kind of a no-brainer. You don't want to crowd out your vegetables and fruits to eat more calories. That's never a good idea. Moving right along to our question and answer segment for today. This one's for you, Danny. Is there any evidence that suggests taking in more than 30 grams of protein at once is a waste?
It's a good question. It's come up a lot in the fitness community. I think this was this myth was kind of started by bodybuilders back in the big bodybuilder forum days, that you couldn't use more than 30 grams of protein at a time. And I guess the question comes down to, what do we mean by use? Is eating more than 30 grams of protein at a time going to be more beneficial for muscle building purposes? No, not really. But your body can absolutely break down and digest more than 30 grams of protein at a time. And those amino acids are still going to be in your amino acid pool to be pulled from throughout the entire day. When would it be a waste? The short answer is no. Eating more than 30 grams of protein is not a waste, but it can be a waste. Let's say, for example, my protein goal for the day is 130 grams of protein. Let's say I have a breakfast that has 40 grams of protein, but then I don't eat all day. And then I realize, oh my God, I have 70 grams of protein to eat at dinner. And I eat 70 grams of protein at dinner for the sake of hitting my protein goal. Why would that be a waste? Because we can stimulate muscle protein synthesis anywhere from 3 to 5 times a day. It depends on the person, really, but 3 to 5 times a day. I personally like to eat 4 meals a day because that's right in that window. I'm trying to stimulate it as much as I can. 4 times a day, that's 32-ish grams of protein per meal for me. And I know that I'm turning on muscle building 4 times a day. If I had 40 grams of protein for breakfast and then 70 grams for dinner and nothing else, I left 2 to 3 muscle protein synthesis feedings on the table. I only turned it on twice that day. So I left all of that muscle building opportunity on the table, even though I still hit my protein goal. So the idea is you want to make sure that you're having at least enough protein to turn on muscle protein synthesis, but also to turn it on as many times as the day as you can, which for me, I feel like that sweet spot is around 4. If I were to break up my protein into 5 or 6 meals, I don't think that would be enough protein to turn that on. I like 4. I know the guy who asked this question, he's a bigger power lifter guy. He's got a lot of protein to work with. So he's probably asking because he breaks his protein down into 5 meals and it's 40 grams of protein at 5 meals. And he's like, but am I wasting it? Should I break it down into more meals? No. There's no point in doing that because you can't turn on muscle protein synthesis that many times throughout the day. And also, it's important that that MPS come back down to baseline in between meals. So you don't want to be eating constantly throughout the day either. Hopefully that makes sense. Okay, this question came to me on Instagram and I already answered her, but I want to hear your answer, Giacomo. So this person has been training towards a bikini competition and she's had some really great improvements over a year and she trusts her coach completely. But recently they had a talk after her check-ins. The coach thinks her progress is slowing down because she doesn't eat meat or fish and asked her if she would consider eating eggs as a means to an end for a short time to build muscle and then go back to being vegan. She said she's never eaten meat in her life and became full vegan around 3 years ago. The way he explained it didn't make me completely against the idea. Thinking about an athlete meeting my goals, I don't think I could eat eggs, but I would consider taking whey as a last resort. What's your professional opinion?
Gosh, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall for that conversation between you and your coach, because you said that there were some valid points there, but what I heard based on the question itself, which is all I can gather information from, is that it was all about working towards your goals. And my assumption here needs to be that it's a certain amount of protein that your coach wants you to get in, because I can't see any other reason why it would boil down to meat, fish, eggs, and even whey protein. To me, it's like compromising your ethics for the sake of it, because you've never eaten, you never had eggs or whey in your life. And so now what's the point of adding them in when there are so many protein sources that are plant-based that are really, really high in protein? And this brings me back to something that we have talked about ad nauseum, but might as well keep the conversation going. I find it problematic to focus on macronutrients in isolation, even when it comes to extreme caloric deficits, even when it comes to, like, say, the tail end of a competition prep. I do think it's helpful to hit your macros, but I don't think it's helpful to think of, this is my protein food, this is my carbohydrate food, this is my fat food. And that's my point, Danny. I don't like that kind of logic. I understand that there are protein-dense foods, there are carb-dense foods, and there are fat-dense foods, but you eat those foods together over the course of a day, and your body knows what to do with them. And as long as you're getting in the right balance of foods, you can get your protein sources from foods that even are not predominantly protein-dense foods. And that number adds up. I mean, you're going to get in, like, I don't know, anywhere from, like, even an extreme caloric deficit, like for a bikini competition, for example, at the tail end of your prep, you're still going to get, I would say, at least 15 to maybe even upwards of 30, 40 grams worth of protein just from other foods that aren't protein dense that are plant-based. Then you can look to add in other things. Well, I don't understand whey protein, because you can just do, say, like a pea protein shake or a pea rice protein shake and still get pretty much the same breakdown. And then other foods like seitan and tofu, for example. So that would be my take on things. I'd really want to know where your coach was coming from.
So here's, this is actually how I became a coach, was because my trainer at the time said the exact same thing to me, like word for word, exact same thing to me. And I refused. I was like, no, there's got to be a way. And believe it or not, 17 years ago or something, that's how I got started researching all of this stuff. And here I am today. I don't hold it against her. She was wonderful. She's a good friend of mine to this day. Veganism was not and is not her area of expertise. So she didn't know what she didn't know. You don't know what you don't know. Your coach may very well be a wonderful, wonderful coach. Obviously, he's done great things with you. But if he doesn't know about veganism, then he just doesn't know. So don't be afraid, and you did by reaching out to me, don't be afraid to go out there, and this is, I'm talking to everybody now, and do your own research. Learn what you can. Find other people who are doing the thing that you want to do. That's how I found Giacomo, even. Find people doing the thing that you want to do and ask them questions too. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Vegan Proteins Muscles by Brussels Radio. Feel free to get in touch with us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, at Vegan Proteins and at Muscles by Brussels. And if you're not part of our awesome Facebook group, please come find us, Muscles by Brussels Radio Group on Facebook. We would love to have you. Thanks so much for tuning in. My name is Danny.
And I'm Giacomo.
And we will talk to you next time. Couldn't even be that I pick me up.